are. Stream us live or download the News Radio 92.3 app. Stay connected to local news, breaking updates, and conversations that matter, even when you're not near radio.
And that's a good thing.
It's News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative. Local. Dependable. Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Love sat alone in a boggy marsh, totally motionless except for her heart. Mud flowed up in the lump's pajamas. She totally confused all the passing piranhas. She's up, she's up, she's in my head.
Morning, everyone. We're here for public forum. Public forum is an opportunity for the public to get up and speak about anything they'd like to discuss.
Who are we building this for? I don't believe the tourists vote and elect or provide jobs directly. The taxpayers and the voters do. And I think two commissioners just learned the hard lesson. Do other commissioners want to learn that same lesson? Listen to us. We don't want this, not today, not tomorrow, not next week, next month, next year. We want that beach just like we found it. Some of us came here as tourists. I know I did, starting in 1976. I didn't come here to visit some boardwalk. I came here and brought my children to play on that beach, to observe our ecosystem, the turtles, the seagulls, the whatever that's out there. Leave it alone, please.
Thank you, Hope.
So that was Hope Bush speaking at the Tourism Development Commission in Santa Rosa County meeting, where at this point, I think the folks who live on the beach and are opposed to the Boardwalk Convention Center, parking lot, restrooms, walkover, food truck court. I know it's a lot of things, but they're all options on the menu that could be any of them, none of them, some of them, whatever. We'll see when the bids actually come back. People are, you know, any venue they can find. They are complaining about this because at least the people who are showing up are very much against it. I still am concerned that there might be some misunderstanding or misinformation about what it is exactly, what it looks like particularly. That's why I posted the renderings on our Facebook page at News Radio so you can see for yourself. Thinking that this makes us like Destin is, I mean, that's such a wild mischaracterization. I don't even know where to start with that. But people who would rather have it be just a pure, pristine marine wildlife area, I understand why this is not that. You know, I get that. I also think that there's a, you know, the folks who live on the beach and the houses that did not exist in the past are, you know, there's a little bit of conflict for how they are happy to have their house, but not the next house. And this isn't even a house. This is, you know, a public amenity that will solve a problem of, you know, fitting in with the view, although it will not be the raw beach. That's true. But fitting in with the Ramadas down the way. And, you know, like I said, they're upset. Some of their upset is justified. I think some of it is misplaced a little bit. But I like that the TDC was pushing back or at least clarifying, you know. And I apologize. I cannot tell you the names of the TDC board members who were speaking. They don't identify each other very well. And I could not actually find a list of who they are. So I'll endeavor to solve that problem for myself. But in any case, one of the board members.
What I encourage you all to do is to do the research and go back through the timeline of when all of this became, when it was presented before the Board of County Commissioners, and how it was voted on. And I know that you all have mentioned the marketing companies and the survey companies. Again, that goes towards the mission of what tourist development does. So to understand, I fear that we have forgotten the process of local government and how it works, because it is a system. So some of these decisions were made or voted upon years ago. So I encourage you to take the time to go back and look at the timeline and how it all became about.
I agree, and I also want to offer a little bit of a correction. I think it's true that most people do not understand the process or which board handles what or which layer of government or which government. You know, is that city? Is that county? Is that state? What is that? Is my HOA, you know, is it the planning board? Is it the zoning board? Is it the board of adjustment? Is, you know, like, which one? Okay. I don't agree with her saying that we've forgotten. I don't think anybody, a lot of people ever knew. It's a complicated system to understand. Listen, when I talked to Mayor Reeves, you know, one of the things that he has said many times, and I totally agree that he's right about this, it is the most common thing in the world for people to stop him and ask him about problems that are really state legislature problems or that are really, you know, private industry problems or that are military problems or that are, you know, it's not his responsibility. Now, what he always says is, I will do my best to solve it anyway. But people, generally speaking, do not understand the structure of our government, the process that it works under, and who's responsible for what. If they know you're their city councilman, that's all they know. And they will ask you to solve every problem because that's what they know. And that's a problem for a democracy. It's a problem for us if our citizens do not understand the government that they vote to create and have to live with. So I'm always trying on this show to, you know, explain it and analyze it and look at it and practice and learn and grow. And so, you know, hopefully at the end of the day, you know what a TDC is as opposed to, you know, a county commission or a city council. Hopefully you know what TDT is as opposed to LOST. And, you know, hopefully you know the difference between those and property taxes. Like, you may not. And if I just said acronyms don't make any sense to you, well, you know, keep listening. We'll get there. But I think it's my job, literally my job as, you know, a news reporter slash analyst and commentator is to explain this stuff because people are frustrated. And, you know, for as much as you may not like traditional media, and I know a lot of people do not, because you are concerned that we have a bias, and many of us do. I do. I mean, I'll tell you, you know, my bias is I'm a conservative Christian, and my bias is out in the open. I'm not trying to pretend I don't have one. I try to present you as many facts as I possibly can, but that's my bias. I think everybody has one, and the biggest bias is when you say you don't have one. But okay, you know, traditional media has biases. True. But if you complain about the biases in traditional media and turn around and believe whatever you see on social media, oh, good Lord. It's so much worse. It's so terrible. If I didn't ignore the stupid stuff I see on social media as a habit of self-defense, which I do, ignore the majority of it, I would never do anything else except correct stupid things on social media. Now, maybe I should. You know, I don't know. But I don't. So the lack of information, the low information, misunderstanding the information, that's a real problem. And then people get strident with the little they do know because it's an issue that matters to them and they're scared and that's understandable too. And they don't have time. They're doing jobs and families and sports and stuff and they don't have time to go research which layer of government they're supposed to come complain to about turning Navarre Beach into Panama City. You know, like, who do I do? I'm angry. I talked to a few other neighbors who know as little as I do and we're angry. And some of them know more. I'm not saying they're all uninformed. I'm just, you know, that's kind of how it happens. So welcome to democracy. It's a hot mess. But the other alternatives are much worse. PJ has traffic on the fives.
There is a brand new vehicle crashing with injuries in Roblox, 9 Mile Road at Nature Creek Boulevard. Use caution through that area. Also have a vehicle crash with Roblox Avalon Boulevard at Moore's Oak Drive. Use caution there as well. And then finally have a vehicle crash I-110 southbound right near Brent Lane. No Roblox. I'm PJ through traffic on the five.
Thanks, PJ. So one of the concerns that had come up was that there was going to be, you know, the tourism office was going to be on the beach and they were going to get this office space. And Jared, I don't know his last name, one of the board members.
I think there's a misconception that there's office space in this project. There was one model of four different options that the Board of County Commissioners looked at about a year ago. And one of those options included a multi-use space, which some coined an office when talking about it in the public domain. That was not the final version of the project that the Board of County Commissioners chose to move forward. So you had a recommendation from the TDC for the project at large, went to the Board of County Commissioners. They kicked around several different options in a public meeting, and having an office space out there was not one of those options that they selected. So just to clarify that.
Yeah, so something that had been under consideration at one point and is not at all in the bids that have been, or in the, you know, RFP that have been put out, but that gets kind of sort of cherry-picked out of the flow of information and used as, look, they want to do this. Oh, no, you know, they don't. That's not part of it anymore, but that's how you kind of misinformation or what might have been information at one point changes and people aren't keeping up because it's a lot of work to keep up. Ask me how I know. You know, I even had to ask from county staff, like, can you give me the history of this thing? And I got it because I asked, and that's why I put it up on social media for you to see for yourself, you know, from reliable sources. Anyway, this issue of a quorum, because at the meeting, there's five members of the county commission. Two were absent on the day this was voted for. It was a 2-to-1 vote. Rettwell voted no, and two commissioners were missing. And somebody, this persistent, well, that's not a quorum. That's not a legal vote.
But there was no quorum. I don't know how getting away with the fact we have five district commissioners, three were there for the vote.
Three out of five is a quorum.
That's right. Three out of five is a quorum, and a majority of a quorum can be two, and that's how you make decisions. Just like 20% of the electorate shows up to an election, 12% vote for a candidate, that's a win. 88% didn't get their way because they didn't show up. Like, and that can happen at the county commission meetings, too. There's no requirement that you have to have three or even four or anything except for certain things. Then they were talking about the, Jared is saying, I think as a county we should clarify this, which, by the way, I agree with that. I think that, you know, part of the job, if governments don't like people being misinformed, then governments need to clarify things. I mean, that'd be what I would do if I work for the government, you know, in this role, which I don't. I work for, you know, David Mary Hoxing, and I do a radio show, and still my job is to clarify the things that government does not explain very well, which it does an awful lot of not explaining it very well.
Madam Chair, I think that this project has had enough commentary that it warrants having a broader frequently asked questions, because I hear a lot of the same questions over and over, and that's something the county is working on putting together. I'd like to have it available here pretty soon, because some of the questions we're hearing are people asking things they see on Facebook, and obviously we have a duty to make sure that the exact information's out there.
So correct.
I've got a compilation of questions from this meeting and from the county commission meeting last week. The county's PIO team is going to put together some information for the public to have on a landing page on the county website. That way you don't have to go to a third-party source like Facebook to get information about the project.
Of course, the problem is once people get worked up and they get entrenched in a view based on either partial or incorrect or whatever information, putting up an official government page that explains it, you know, good luck. I mean, good luck. I do this every day. Good luck to me. You know, once people are, you know, set in something, just some are willing to listen. And I am continually advocating for a culture of listening and learning and, you know, adapting. But, you know, man, I'll just tell you, human nature is what it is.
I just want to take a moment to thank you all for coming and addressing your concerns. I love Navarre Beach. I just want you to know, while you are addressing your concerns, this board does not vote on any of the issues that that you are here to speak on behalf of. So while I care how you feel, it's not why I'm here.
But I think, unless I'm very mistaken, I do believe that they recommended the project to the county commission. So that's, you know, it's past them now. It's at the county commission level, which is where you should be talking. But I'll just, man, you know, once you get worked up, once you get excited or angry or whatever, it's so hard to just listen. I was surprised. I guess I shouldn't be. But just kind of the rudeness, you know, at the meeting, like not coming to the microphone, just yelling out questions from the crowd, which, by the way, kudos, frankly, to the TDC for answering a lot of these questions and handling it pretty well. But, you know, it's like this is not just your backyard barbecue where you can yell things out. But, you know, anyway, here's kind of how this all went. A guy who was angry who lives on the beach is asking about stuff.
Several live in Navarre.
Because he had asked, you know, who on the board lives on the beach, which, by the way, it's for the whole county. It's not just for the people who live on the beach.
Several live in Navarre.
Live. Who's on the board now that live right here is going to be affected by your decision? Are you
Well, that's what I'm saying. We only approve a budget and then present it to the Board of County Commissioners. There's
one of you are down here living by the beach.
So what I am saying is this board does not vote on the issues that you're presenting.
And to the Board of County Commissioners.
Just on a budget, sir.
Why isn't the county commissioners here?
Yeah. They meet.
It was the same thing last week when they were here. They don't listen to them. They set up their stone face.
I'm going to interrupt.
It's all just money.
All right. Excuse me, sir.
It is important that we all remain calm and allow everyone to voice their opinion.
calmly. These people in front of us are not the enemy. They're part of us.
But they're recommending to the board.
And you may not like what they're recommending, but to be angry with these individuals in front of us is not productive.
You know, kudos to her. I don't know who that was that stood up and said, you know, these folks are not the enemy. They care too. Don't treat them like the enemy. Don't yell at them, you know, your various things. So good for her. I will tell you, I have one other thought on this, and you're not going to like to hear it. But that's okay. I mean, you know, it's fine. You can disagree with me. 437-1620. I have heard many people say, y'all don't listen to us. Y'all don't listen to us. This has become a repeated refrain, particularly in Santa Rosa County, but to some degree in Escambia as well. You don't listen to us. Well, I think that may not be true. I think they are listening to you, and they disagree. Or sometimes, you know, you're wrong. And if you're wrong, the obligation of people is to listen and correct if you'll hear it. But I do not think that people are saying they want to be listened to. What you're really saying is you're not obeying us. You're not doing what we're telling you to do. Very different from not listening to you. Now, in some sense, you know, the politicians have to obey you or you can vote other people in, which is what that one woman had threatened in the one part of the speech. But these people represent the whole county. Right? Especially if they're elected officials, they represent the whole county. And that's thousands and thousands of voters, not the 20 who are in front of them. And you may not have good information, so always be open to being corrected about that. Now, if you're the leader, I think it's smart to acknowledge where people have something right and to recognize that, you know, it's a full-time job to keep up with this stuff, and it can be frustrating. It absolutely is. Okay, so be patient. Take the time. Explain it. Walk them through it. You know, honestly, on this topic, I think there's been a big mistake made because I really do think that a lot of people who are upset about this just haven't seen the renderings. Now, they may hate them even if they saw them, but put them up on the projector screen just so you guys see this is what we're talking about. They can still disagree, but at least make sure people are as informed about the facts as they can be if the facts are going to persuade them. 437-1620, 437-1620. PJ has traffic on the 5.
Still working that vehicle crash with injuries. 9 Mile Road at Foxtail Loop. Looks like there's a roadblock there, so just use caution. Also have a vehicle crash and roadblock Avalon Boulevard at Moores Oaks Drive in Milton. I'm PJ through traffic on the 5.
If you are thinking about that next vehicle, Frontier Motors has an excellent selection. And it's not just the cars. I mean, they're good quality cars. They warranty all their late model cars to 10 years or 100,000 miles. They're good condition, but that's not, and it's, you know, good prices, okay? And the Carfax is included. It's easy, right? But it's all the little things they do that make you not hate the process so much. I can't promise you you're going to like it, okay? There is one part you're going to like. I never have said it on the radio, and I won't now. There is one part you're going to like. But, you know, I don't want to ruin it. It's fun. But they try to do things in a way that's not annoying, that doesn't make you feel like somebody's trying to take advantage of you, as I describe it, as not feeling icky. You know, most of the time you deal with car sales, it's, like, you got to clean off when you get home. It's not like that at Frontier. They just try to treat you like you want to be treated. And they've been doing that for 29 years so that people want to come back and not just buy one car, but buy all the cars they're ever going to buy. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for 29 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Looking for the best in flooring? At Jonathan's Flooring, you can select beautiful luxury vinyl plank flooring with the texture of wood, waterproof, and longer lasting. Jonathan's Flooring offers the most affordable pricing, first-class workmanship and installation, with a large selection of tile, carpet, or the latest in luxury vinyl plank flooring. Performance and sustainability is what makes Jonathan's Flooring the best choice for your floors. Stop by Jonathan's Flooring on North Palafox, south of 9 Mile Road, or online at jonathansflooring.com.
Onyx, I keep having stomach issues. Please make me a doctor's appointment.
Okay. Are you suffering from diarrhea, bloating, gas, or oily stools? If so, you may want to ask your doctor if it could actually be a problem with your pancreas called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI.
My pancreas? How is EPI treated?
A prescription medicine like Creon, pancrelipase, is used to treat people who can't digest food normally because their pancreas doesn't make enough enzymes. Creon is the number one prescribed treatment for EPI.
Creon may increase your chance of fibrosing colonopathy, a rare bowel disorder. Tell your doctor if you have a history of intestinal blockage or scarring or thickening of your bowel wall, if you are allergic to pork, or if you have gout, kidney problems, or worsening of painful swollen joints. Call your doctor if you have any unusual or severe gastrointestinal symptoms or allergic reactions. Take Creon as directed by your doctor and always with food. Do not chew capsules, as this may cause mouth irritation. Other side effects may include blood sugar changes, gas, dizziness, sore throat, and cough. These are not all the side effects of Creon. You can learn more at 1-800-633-9110.
Before your appointment, visit creoninfo.com. That's creoninfo.com.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Okay, let's talk about renovation and how it's not like your ordinary happy ending home makeover show. Example, there are the guys who prey on homeowners and never show up to do the work. So that's why the state of Florida licenses contractors. You can check if your contractor is licensed at the Florida Department of Business and Professional Regulation website at myfloridalicense.com.
This message is sponsored by the Florida Department of Business and Professional Regulation, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this station.
The five-day outlook is calling for intense flooding, followed by the end of the world!
You don't need panic. You need information. News Radio 92.3.
I said it before and I'll say it again. Life moves pretty fast. You don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it.
Good morning, 8:29 here on News Radio 92.3, informative local KLF. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
I hate to tell you this, but I've got a little bit of a computer glitch in the matrix.
I'll let you
here.
Go and work on your stuff coming up for the next segment. No big deal. Let's see. Oh, somebody says, Andrew, let's see. I want to find this text. We don't want any more people coming to this area at our expense, making billions of dollars for a bunch of big polluting businessmen and ruining our beaches any further than they already have been ruined. It's like a boardwalk in a parking lot that people will use, and the food truck court. It's not like billions of dollars and big polluting businessmen. I mean, I get your frustration, but, you know, it's pretty mild compared to what it's been compared to in Panama City or Destin or, gosh, even Pensacola Beach.
Therese Crowley. At the White House Ellipse, President Trump hosts 9/11 responders with a 21-foot, 16,000-pound beam from the World Trade Center fallen South Tower. FDNY Captain Gerald Chapura tells Fox.
Everybody has a 9/11 story.
Yeah.
So when we bring them up on the steel, they lay their hands on it, they tell us their story. A lot of people weep and cry. It's an amazing and emotional time, really is. And for us to do it, it's a blessing.
Yeah.
Because our mantra, never forget and always remember.
For the terror attack 25-year anniversary, Canada hits the U.S. with retaliatory tariffs 20 to 50% on U.S. steel, dairy, a range of goods, but seafood and Maine lobster exempt. New Hampshire, a primary day. Democrat Congressman Chris Pappas at risk of losing to a DSA challenger. Kauai getting slammed by winds of Cat 2 Hurricane Lowell. Most of the power is out on the Garden Isle. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 8:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now we've got mostly sunny skies. It is 78 degrees. We'll get a full look at our forecast here in just a couple of minutes. First, our headlines today. A 69-year-old Pensacola man has died after being hit by a car yesterday on North W Street. FHP says the man was crossing the road near the Casey's gas station when a southbound sedan driven by a 77-year-old woman hit him. He was taken to the hospital and died. The driver was not hurt. Troopers say she was not able to see the man in time to avoid that crash. Well, business owners along Palafox say this year's potentially rerouted this year's rerouted parade had cost them. Wild Greg's saloon owner Greg Urban says his sales were down 90% the day of this last parade.
It was a complete disaster for the spring Mardi Gras. It was barely worth being open during the parade.
And Urban tells Channel 3 that he and other downtown business owners are pushing for the parade's return to Palafox next year. City and Mardi Gras officials are deciding whether to keep the route on Jefferson Street instead. Escambia County is set to tear down the old toll booth entering Pensacola Beach. Demolition on that set to start October 11th. Commissioners say that the $6.5 million gateway project will replace that old toll booth with a new gantry system. It'll be using toll-by-plate technology, cameras, and fiber optic communications. The goal, improving traffic flow. They say fees won't be changing. The county does say the new system, though, should ease congestion and improve access for emergency vehicles. There's also a separate traffic study going on through the end of November to guide future improvements, including a potential parking garage. Well, we're still not sure about this upcoming time change. Chris Bryan with this story, he says we're still waiting for the Senate's vote.
Do we or do we not stay on daylight savings time permanently? Florida approved permanent daylight savings time in 2018. The U.S. House approved permanent daylight savings time on July 14th. Now it is up to the Senate. The legislation now must be passed by the Senate and signed into law by President Trump. Daylight savings time for 2026 ends on Sunday, November 1st at 2 a.m. when those clocks will fall back 1 hour. Chris Bryan, News Radio 92.3.
Longtime ECUA board member Dale Perkins has died. He's 64 years old. Perkins served on the ECUA board for 32 years. And he took office first way back in 1994. This was the year he didn't seek re-election. A commemorative plaque honoring his tenure was dedicated earlier this year near Pensacola Beach. The Santa Rosa Sheriff's Office is asking the public for their support in their newly wrapped lead car. In the 2026 Vehicle Graphics Contest for Law Enforcement Vehicles. The agency shared that request with the community online yesterday. They're hoping residents will help them bring home the win. We'll post a link to that one online if you would like to vote on it. It is 8:35 here at News Radio 92.3. Let's check in with PJ. He's got our traffic on the fives.
Travis brought to you by Florida West EDA. Florida West focuses on attracting and expanding businesses that create jobs, increase wages, and strengthen Escambia County's economy. Taking a look at the big board here, we have that vehicle crash, I-110 southbound right near Brent Lane. No roadblock associated with that. Also still working that vehicle crash with the roadblock Avalon Boulevard at Moores Oak Drive in Milton. And also have that vehicle crash with injuries and roadblock 9 Mile Road at Foxtail Loop in Pensacola. Use caution. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
And now let's check in with Channel 3 for a forecast.
We are going to have a small chance of some pop-up showers and thunderstorms today. 30% chance of rain. Otherwise, mostly sunny skies with a high near 89 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 76. For Wednesday, 50% chance of your showers and thunderstorms, high near 88 degrees. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 76 degrees. Going into Thursday, 70% chance of rain with a high near 88 and a low near 76. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now we've got 76 degrees. It is mostly sunny this morning. Our next news in 30 minutes. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. This is News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. And your money now this hour. Our markets are down here at the opening bell. The Dow down just about 0.9% at 52,950.63. S&P down just under 0.25%, 7,752. NASDAQ down 0.2% at 26,456.93. 10-year bond rate not changed today, 4.784%. Gold is down $30.50, 44,46.10. Silver up 19 cents. 66.94. Bitcoin is down 1,200 at 78,071.60. And taking a look at oil prices, West Texas Intermediate up $1.52.93 a barrel. Brent crude trading up 82 cents today at 97.82 per barrel. Looking at our gas prices, AAA has got that national average at 4.15. In Escambia, averages right around 386, Santa Rosa at 389. Our next news at 9, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
Is your home your dream home? Or is at least on the way there? Maybe it's time for a change. Maybe all you really need is an appliance upgrade. When it's time to upgrade, it's time to visit Topps Appliance in Milton.
Locally owned and operated, Topps Appliance has everything you need to turn your house into your dream home. From top-of-the-line freezers, refrigerators, dishwashers, and stoves, to dependable washers and dryers, Topps Appliance carries the brands you know and trust, like GE, Speed Queen, and more. And with many items in stock, you can take your appliances home with you the very same day. So turn your home into your dream home with an appliance update from Topps Appliance, Highway 90 in Milton, just east of Stewart Street. Topps Appliance.
Every piece of jewelry has a story. Some start with a yes. Some start with, this belonged to my grandmother. Some start with, can we turn this into something new? However the story begins, the right jeweler helps it last. With custom design, careful restoration, and engagement rings built to last generations, Beret Jewelers has helped Pensacola keep those stories shining strong. Beret Jewelers, 40 years of coastal shine.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel this Friday at 10 a.m. Key Marine sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. Have a boating question for Stephen? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them this Friday at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Andrew McKay in the Pensacola Morning News.
I can't believe I'm going to say this one out loud, but here goes. The socialists got it right? Again? Zoran Mamdani, America's most hated politician. Or beloved, depending on who you ask. The socialist mayor of New York has now banned the use of AI for students up until the eighth grade. If a socialist does a good thing, you still have to give him credit for it? Yeah, you know, you still do.
Andrew McKay in the Pensacola Morning News. Listen weekdays 5 to 9 a.m. News Radio 92.3.
Informative.
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
I admire your deductive processes.
Ooh, yeah. I'm gonna have to go ahead and sort of disagree with you there.
Oh, idiot.
Food fight!
Gentlemen, you can't fight in here. This is the war room.
This conversation can serve no purpose anymore. Goodbye.
Imagine this. So you call someone, they pick up, and they don't say anything. Not even a hello. Well, apparently that's the latest Gen Z trend. Answering phone calls and just breathing until the person who calls you speaks first. According to some reports, older generations and employers, they're getting frustrated, calling it bad etiquette. Others are blaming the fact that Gen Z grew up without landlines, so they never witnessed the proper way to answer a phone. But if you ask Gen Z, the tactic isn't rude. It's proactive. One Gen Zer breaking down the silence on Reddit saying this. The reason they do it is because there are a lot of robocalls and they are waiting to see if there's a voice on the other side of the line.
Oh, see, they're outsmarting the telemarketing companies or whatever. Okay, so 437-1620, that's my question of the day. How do you answer the phone? And do you do it differently at your job if you have a phone to answer at your job as opposed to your own personal phone? I'm always fascinated still. We were just watching a movie that was made in the 90s, and it was the time of flip phones and pagers. Like, do you remember when? You know, remember when a phone was a thing you had to go to because the phone didn't go with you. But 437-1620, how do you answer the phone? Do you notice young people answering it differently? Is this a problem? What's the right way to do it? You know, that's what, kind of what I want to get to, because I don't think I've ever experienced this particular phenomenon, but the allegation is that Gen Z answer the phone by saying nothing. You know, like they're the lurid caller, but on the wrong side. Like, you know, not somebody calling to harass, but just sitting there and breathing, and that's it, waiting for you to talk, which... I don't even know what I would do if that happened to me. If I called somebody and they picked up and, hello, are you okay? Are you in medical distress? What's going on here? It is the obligation of the person who answers the phone to speak first, said the Gen Xer. 437-1620 PJ.
So I have two Gen Zers.
Yeah.
One picks up and goes, yeah, what's up? Or she just does the moth breathing thing.
Okay. Now, to waits, you?
Yes, to me.
To you, her dad?
To her dad.
What's up, I kind of get that.
Yeah.
Because she knows it's you, obviously.
And my second daughter will just say, yeah.
Okay. Have you heard him do this to other people?
Yes.
That's just, yeah?
To friends and other people, yeah.
Okay. All right. I mean, I know we're a long way from the good old days of, thank you for calling the McKay residence. This is Jennifer. May I help you? You mm-hmm. know, whatever, like the 1958 version of phone etiquette. But I was always raised, hello, this is Andrew. Or hello, this is Andrew. What can I do for you? Or something along those lines, mm-hmm. you know. Now, things have changed. I don't like to say my name to the person. I don't like to give them the pieces of the audio file that they might need to run some kind of scam with my voice or pretend I gave them permission. So I don't say yes. I've never quite figured out whether that's valid or not. But so I will say, I'm trying to think how I do, because most of my phone calls come from people who I do know. I know who it is, mm-hmm. or else I don't answer the phone, which is the other problem. They say a lot of Gen Zers and a lot of people just don't answer the phone anymore. But they'll answer it now. I'll just say hello is my general thing. I don't say yes, but I'll say hello.
Yeah.
Now it's your turn.
I'll say hello or I'll be like, this is PJ.
And I am always, if it's from a phone number I don't recognize, I'm always wondering if it's going to be some kind of a robocall or something like that. Mm-hmm. So I have a very quick tolerance. You know, hey, this is John. Click. Because I'm like, I'm not doing it. Don't care. Don't want to know. You're bothering me. I'm done. 437-1620. What were you going to say, though? How do you answer? What's your personal?
I'll either say hello or this is PJ.
This is PJ. It's a very normal, yeah. You know, because you're telling the other person. You have successfully connected with the human of your choice.
That's right.
Here am I. 437-1620. Somebody says, I do what they do, and I'm a boomer, and I don't recognize, if I don't recognize the number. And that is a, you know, ever since the advent of caller ID back in the day. You mean there was a time without it? I know. Bear with me. Yes, there was a time without it. Back in the day when you could do
you
a prank call.
Extra.
Yeah, right. Now, somebody else, I was reading an actual a defense of this at the BBC, and they were saying, I actually learned how not to volunteer information because we lived through the 90s with cell phones where you paid by the minute, or long distance calls where you paid by the minute, or text messages where you paid by the text. And so only giving partial information or limited information was actually part of what we did to economize.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I understand that. 437-1620. What is the right way to answer a phone? PJ's got traffic on the fives.
There is a vehicle crash, Gulf Breeze Parkway at Oak Drive in Gulf Breeze. No roadblock there. Also, still dealing with that vehicle crash, I-110 southbound right near Brent Lane. Roadway's open. I'm PJ through traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. Now, I have a benefit in my psychology that not everybody has, which is, you know, I've done phone sales. You know, I've done a lot of customer service jobs, you know, where I was working at the front counter and taking calls. And I've done, you know, making calls out to do sales to other people. So I've had a lot of training on the use of the phone. I have a belief about what is the appropriate way to answer a phone if you are a business. And even tone matters. And I actually learned this when I worked at the, partially I had this confirmed when I worked up at the network. And, you know, I saw that the phone answers for the radio shows, the national radio shows, were all really rude. Hello. And I'm like, you know, you could be nicer. You know, and so I would always say, you know, hey, this is the Rusty Humphrey Show. What can I do for you? What's your first name? Or, you know, what's your point? Or, what, you know, something. I used to produce Rusty for a long time ago. And, you know, so I still do that today. Like when people call the radio station and I'm the one who picks up the phone, it's, you know, news radio. This is Andrew. Or news radio. What can I do for you? Or news, you know, something just kind of semi-happy, you know, as opposed to what? Oh, okay. Welcoming Southern, fantastic. 647 here on News Radio 92.3. Let's see. If it's somebody I know, I say hello. If not, I say what? I love it. Good morning or good afternoon. How can I help you? Is this dining or takeout? Only used for spam calls. You know, are you looking for a pan pizza today? Robo calls all the time. It's insane. They say, who is this? Or may I ask who I'm speaking with? And if somebody started, you know, hey, this is John. John who? If I'm that patient, and I'm usually not that patient. Somebody says, is this the party that I'm speaking to? What does that mean? I'm not, on its own? I don't quite get that. Okay. I cannot imagine the just nothing Mm-hmm. I don't think I've ever heard my kids don't answer it that way to me when I call.
Okay.
But I don't call them either, you know, that's text because they're in the house. Why would I call them usually? And if I do.
My kids have heard us over the years. They know how to properly
They've
do
heard
it.
It done right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, there was a time. You kids, get off my lawn. Answer your phones properly. Yeah, stupid Gen Zers. And, you know, it is important to remember that just because older people think it needs to be done a certain way does not mean that it should be done a certain way. You know, the older people can be wrong, too. You know, cultures can change, right? Let's see. Somebody says, I like to answer, hi, I'm calling to offer you a great deal. We've got great rates if you're interested. So this is the reverse prank, right? This is answering it as if you are the telemarketer or the recipient of it. 437-1620, 437-1620. If you're thinking about buying or selling a home, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty do this a lot, and that produces a level of knowledge and expertise that you can take advantage of. If you're going to hire a realtor, okay, they're going to make some money off of you, and you're going to have a lot of money that you either make or don't make because of them, that you either sell or buy or whatever, and it's going to be a very intense process. It has a lot of life implications for you, and want to make sure you do it well. Here's what I always say. Don't call Christina Leavenworth. Don't hire her because I say so, but do call her because I say so. Meaning, talk to her and you decide for yourself. Maybe you feel more comfortable, you want to go with your brother-in-law. I don't know. You make a decision, but it is a pretty big life decision. She and her team at Leavenworth Realty sold 206 homes last year, and in the last 12 months, 270 homes. That means they're accelerating from 4 a week to 5 a week. And you say, how can they take care of me? That's part of why they're so good at it, is because they manage to give you personalized service where you feel weirdly like they're you're their only customer, but you know rationally that's not true. And they'll walk you through every step of the process, get you all the way through to closing, which is ultimately what you want, and get a good deal. So if you're thinking of buying or selling for whatever reason, residential home, 786-3996 or Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty.
Billy Anderson here at Anderson Subaru in Pensacola, and we're excited to announce an incredible 75-month financing on four of our most popular models. Ascent, Crosstrek, Forester, and Outback. Combined with low end-of-summer rates, it's the perfect time to get behind the wheel of a new Subaru. Get 0.9% APR financing for 75 months on Ascent models, the family-sized SUV with flexible seating for up to 8, and 1.9% APR financing for 75 months on the redesigned Outback, or get 2.9% APR financing for 75 months on Subaru Crosstrek models, and 2.9% APR financing for 75 months on Subaru Forester models. Flexible long-term financing, low rates, and legendary reliability and longevity. Even more reason to love a Subaru from Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Subaru for you, Subaru for you. Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
If my dog Ginger could speak English, you'd hear her say she wants her own doggy vacation at Play and Stay Pet Daycare when I go on vacation. But since she doesn't speak English, I'm going to translate. What's that? Play and Stay Pet Daycare is the only pet daycare in Pensacola with an on-site veterinarian. And they're cage-free with large indoor and outdoor play areas where you love to run and romp with your friends. So where are they? That's right. Play and Stay Pet Daycare is at 4220 North Davis Highway, across from Bailey's Farmers Market, online at olivebranchpethospital.com. Who's a good girl? Yeah. Splash Magazine covers the coast like the Gulf of Mexico. Each month, Splash Magazine offers a calendar of events, plus tips on where to shop, dine, and play. Learn about the month's special events, live entertainment, and interesting local people. Learn how to catch fish with Captain Dave Yelverton. See what is worth watching on your streaming services. Tom Nolan will tell you the latest. Get the most out of the Emerald Coast by reading Splash Magazine each month. For more information, call Gulf Breeze News at 850-932-8986 or visit GulfBreezeNews.com online.
In a world of payroll and HR services, things can get complicated. There are so many moving parts in business. At Avalon HR, we understand, and we have your back. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel as we guide you through the complicated world of payroll and HR services. Running a business is busy work. Allow Avalon HR to work with you. Join us tomorrow on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 10.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WER-TV, News Radio Team, on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
One ringy dingy. Two ringy dingies.
A gracious good afternoon. Have I reached the party to whom I am speaking?
I'm so sorry I didn't get the laugh-in reference. And then so my dad actually texted me and said, I think that's a laugh-in reference. That is this the party to whom I'm speaking? And so I went and grabbed the Lily Tomlin clip, and there you go. Oh, I appreciate that. Laugh-in was so good. 8:53 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. A couple of quick follow-up texts on the conversation about how you answer the phone. Somebody says, I was a receptionist and was trained to smile when answering the phone. It does make a difference. Oh, no, that is so true. That is definitely true. If you smile, I'll demonstrate. So if I'm telling you the news, and I'm telling you the news, what's the difference? You can hear it. You can hear it. It's different when somebody's smiling and they're not smiling, especially, you know, I'm telling you, you literally can't be upbeat when you're frowning. It's a weird, you know, thing. Let's see. Oh, somebody else explaining me the Lily Tomlin reference. I appreciate that. That's all fine. All the rest of it. All right. Let's see. I did have something that needs just a teeny tiny bit of. Oh no, sorry. That'll wait for tomorrow. I want to tell you something that's going on at the Santa Rosa County Commission meeting this morning that I think is interesting. They're not voting on it today. They're voting to instruct staff to do it. So this would be a Thursday thing, I guess. But the subject is animal tethering in Santa Rosa County, and the action is. Approval or denial to direct staff to develop ordinance language related to animal tethering and schedule a public hearing to consider such an ordinance. Santa Rosa County currently does not have anything in ordinance related to the conditions under which animals can or cannot be tethered outside. Neighboring jurisdictions have similar ordinances that can be reviewed to propose appropriate language for Santa Rosa County. Tying your dog up outside. That's the question. Kerry Smith is the one who's bringing this, District 2. And this is a very interesting... Escambia County has a very restrictive tethering ordinance. In fact, I think the tethering ordinance in Escambia County is too restrictive. But if you live in Santa Rosa County, I suspect dog owners are not going to like this because it's going to tell you you cannot have, I mean, if they do it like Escambia, it's first of all, it's going to intrude on your ability to have your dog tied up outside or put rules on that, which Santa Rosa County notoriously does not like that. Also, you know, oddly, in Santa Rosa, you know, it's very common to let the dogs run free. Ask me how I know as a bike rider. Hate that. But okay. But what does Escambia County do? I don't know what the proposal in Santa Rosa is going to be. They said to direct staff, if they do this, to come back with a suggestion. I'll tell you the Escambia one in a second because I think when I found out what Escambia does, I think it's wild. I don't agree with it, by the way. PJ has traffic on the fives.
Still working that vehicle crash with injuries. 9 Mile Road at Foxtail Loop in Pensacola. There's a roadblock associated with that. Use caution. I'm PJ through traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. So here's the law in Escambia County. It is unlawful for any animal under the age of 6 months to be tied, chained, or tethered outdoors at all in any way, period. Animals over 6 months of age can be tethered, providing all of the requirements below are met. It shall be unlawful for any owner or person in possession of an animal and who confines the animal outdoors on private property to tie, chain, or otherwise tether an animal that is over the age of 6 months, except when the following conditions are met. The owner must remain in visual range of the pet while they're outdoors. You can't leave the pet outdoors tethered. Illegal. In Escambia County, did you know that? The tether must be a minimum of 10 feet in length or at least 5 times the total length of the dog if the dog is bigger than 2 feet. It has to terminate at both ends with a swivel. That's fine. That's to prevent wrapping and choking. Okay, the swivel makes sense. The tether itself may not weigh more than 1/16 of the animal's weight. What? I mean, how much is that? The tether must be fastened on one end to an overhead pulley or running line. It is illegal in Escambia County to have a ground tether. You know, spike in the ground with a rope or a chain, or a doghouse with a rope or a chain, or a tree with a rope or a chain. Illegal in Escambia County. Did you know? It has to be an overhead pulley system where the dog can run back and forth along the line with a line that connects down to their collar. That's the only legal kind in Escambia County. I was amazed that this is the law in Escambia County. It must be 15 feet in length. The run must be no less than 5 feet above the ground, be secured on each end to a fixed location. So you have to have the infrastructure to do it, whether it's trees or, I guess, off of your house. And you can't go house to ground. Like, it has to go house to a tree or something like that. The tether must be fastened on one end to a properly fitting body harness or buckle-type collar made of nylon or leather. Tether shall be free from entanglement or other obstructions at all times. Animals shall have access to potable water, shelter, and dry ground at all times, which is weird if you're going to require them to be inside of the owner. I mean, why both? If they have to be inside of the owner, you don't need to insure the other things because they're inside of the owner. Your animals shall not be tethered outside during a period of extreme weather, including but not limited to tornadoes, tropical storms, or hurricanes. Okay, fine. But again, if the person's out there. And multiple animals must be tethered separately. So if you have two dogs, they have to be on separate lines in Escambia County. You live, I can't remember, do you live in Escambia or Santa Rosa?
Escambia, yeah.
Do you have dogs?
I do, but she runs free.
Okay, fair enough. Which is allowed. As long as they don't attack somebody or whatever. But
fence backyard.
Yeah.
We're good.
So anyway, when we first moved here, I'm like, the what? I mean, that is an incredibly restrictive dog tethering ordinance. I mean, they say pet tethering, but I mean, I don't think you're tethering your cats outdoors. At least I've never heard of that. All this, maybe people do. I don't know. People do all kinds of things. Never say never. So in Santa Rosa County, again, the county commission is going to take up, not today, not on Thursday. They are directing staff to come up with, if they all agree. I don't know whether they'll agree, but what's the word I want? I would not be surprised if there's not a little bit of pushback in Santa Rosa County, especially if they try to go to a tethering ordinance that is as robust and I would say intrusive as the one in Escambia County is. 437-1620, somebody says, tying up dogs is cruel, especially in the summer. Why have a dog? Also, I don't agree with letting your dogs run wild either. I mean, it can be. It can be. Oh, by the way, as somebody who's bike ridden all over Escambia County, let's just say not everybody is in compliance. In fact, I would say of the number of dogs in my time that I have seen tethered at all in any way, God, it's less than 5% that are an overhead tether. It might be less like 2-3%. Most people do not tie up their dogs this way, which, is a code violation. So Garden Line is next on Pep Talk. Stick around.
Local Talk in the morning, 5 to